Joshua chapter 1, resuming our study at verse 10. Joshua chapter 1, verse 10. I'm assuming you're still in fellowship, so we'll just jump into the lesson. And as promised, we're going to do the problem-solving devices starting on page 504. Problem-solving devices on page 504. And these are for the Christian, the church age. Some of these are not were not available to the to Joshua in his day, and some of them were. So let's start out with the problem-solving devices, because these are things that you have to have to advance in your Christian way of life. These are the shield, the sword, the feet, the breastplate, the waistband. All these things are associated with your progression in your spiritual life. So what's the definition? It's the provision by God to the believer of a number of specific Bible doctrines designed to overcome any of the various problems and adversities that are encountered in life and to spur the positive volition believer to spiritual maturity. So that's the purpose of these things, and they're provided by God to you. Because if you have a problem, you want to say, well, I need to have a problem-solving device to solve the problem, and therefore I can be courageous, but I can't be courageous until I'm strong, and I can't be strong until I understand what these problem-solving devices are, and they're marvelous. The first one is the rebound technique, and this is an easy problem-solving device to employ. This puts you in a status of spiritual purity with God the Holy Spirit. And most churches, most Christians in the church age do not understand this whatsoever. And if you don't understand the number one, you're not going to be able to employ the other ones. If you try to employ the other ones, you're simply engaged in human good in the cosmic system, because you have to understand the difference between human good and divine good. Divine good can only be produced when you're filled with God the Holy Spirit. And so that's what we call rebound, which is an entire doctrine in your book. And that's what we have. It starts out with rebound, rebound. It's an essential problem-solving device. It puts the believer in a fellowship status with God the Holy Spirit in God's divine dynasphere and out of the control of the old sin nature and Satan's cosmic system. The Old Testament, they had rebound as well, but the results were not the same. They did not have the filling of the Holy Spirit because they were not indwelt with God the Holy Spirit. In Hebrews chapter 11, their rebound was closely associated with problem-solving device number 4, which is the faith rest technique. They were commanded to rebound, and their rebound mechanics were the same as ours, name the known sin. But they also had to go and perform various rituals after they named the known sin. They had rituals for known sins, and they had rituals for unknown sins that the believer had to do. And so once they would name the sin, then they'd go to the temple and do the ritual that was associated with it. We don't go to a temple. We don't do any of the rituals. We simply name the known sin, 1 John 1:9, and that puts us in a status of being filled with the Holy Spirit, which is a superior status than the Old Testament believer. But they had a rebound situation, so their faith rest or their spirituality was really based on the faith rest technique. And I use the word spirituality in quotation because they were not filled with God the Holy Spirit. But they had the same rebound technique, just different results. So we're supercharged. We get everything they got, and we get the filling of God the Holy Spirit. Filling of God the Holy Spirit is important in the church age because this is the intensified stage of the angelic conflict. Before the church age, Satan pointed all his guns primarily at stopping the Messiah from coming into the world. He did that in a variety of very unusual ways. We studied in Genesis chapter 6. One of his strategies was, well, the promise is that the seed of the woman will come into the world. I'll just breed out true humanity. So there can't be a human. And therefore, if there can't be a human, there can't be a Messiah. And that's what he did with Genesis chapter 6, where he had these some of the classified demons that were capable of copulating with women. That was his whole strategy. I'll just breed them out. And that strategy did not work. They were all wiped out in the great flood, all these Nephilim. But he had many strategies to try to stop it. He tried to kill everyone in the line because as the Old Testament progressed, more and more information came about to individuals about who the Messiah would be and what line he would come through. And he would come through this line and that line and through the tribe of Judah. And so Satan basically would try to stop it at every single turn. And when Jesus was on the earth, he tried everything in the book to stop Jesus from going to the cross. First of all, he wanted to attack his perfection, because if you get Jesus to sin one time, he's not qualified to go to the cross. Doesn't matter if you go to the cross. You can't go to the cross because you're now a sinner. So he threw everything at him to get him to sin. And I mean everything. But it didn't work. He was tempted far beyond you'll ever be tempted. And thus, not just the three great temptations that are covered in the wilderness. He was tempted every single day of his life by people testing, thought testing, system testing, every type of testing. And yet he remained without sin. And therefore he went to the cross perfect, qualified. So Satan had a lot of strategies. I mean, he even had one dream to Pilate's wife. You know, have nothing to do with this good man. Don't send him to the cross. So he tried the good. He tried the bad. He tried everything. He tried to stone Jesus on many occasions, kill him in his humanity. Because if he kills him very quickly, he can't die for the sins of the world. Because the prediction was he'd be hung on a tree. Well, if I stone him to death or have him pushed off a cliff, as they tried to do one time on one occasion, and it says that Jesus went through the crowd. So if I kill him in a way that doesn't involve the cross, then I can stop the cross. But now that Jesus has defeated Satan, he's broken his back. The angelic conflict, the back is broken. We're now in the last stages of it. And so who does Satan turn his guns on now? Yeah, look in the mirror. It's you. You are now the target. Every believer that's positive Bible doctrine is a target. He doesn't want you to reach maturity. Of course, he targets all humans to stop them from being, from receiving the gospel. But then he also targets those individuals, those few Christians that really want to know about their Creator. And they're very few that are serious students of the Word of God. They want to know about the rebound technique. They want to know about the filling of the Holy Spirit. They want to know about the hypostatic union, about what happened on the cross. They want all this information, which they didn't have before. And most churches are not going to give you this stuff. 90% of all churches, probably even more than that, they're filled with human good. They think the Christian way of life is do good, be good, feel good, and throw in some rituals, and give us the 10%. And that's it. You can't grow in those places. Impossible. They can't teach what they don't know, and they don't know it. And if they do know it, they won't tell you. Because why won't they tell a congregation if they know accurate Bible doctrine? Because 2/3 of the congregation would leave. Or they'd throw you out and get somebody else that tells them what they want to hear. So it's very, very, very rare. Is that unusual? No, it's not unusual. In fact, it's unusual the other way. You see large groups of people coming together, your general thought should be they're way off track. Way off track. Not always true, but generally correct if you make that assessment. So, rebound is a critical doctrine. 101 Christianity, how many churches know about that? Very few, very few. And it's grace all the way. We studied it many, many times. But that's a problem-solving device, because in order for you to use the other problem-solving devices, you got to get out of the cosmic system. You got to stay out of the cosmic system. And you're the one that supervises yourself. You supervise yourself. You determine if you're in the cosmic system or in God's system. And so the next problem-solving device is the filling of the Holy Spirit. It serves as the key power source, enables a believer to learn Bible doctrine. It's called the power of God in 2 Timothy 1:8. And you produce divine good. That's your power source. It's your battery. And God the Holy Spirit is the power source for everything. Because when you're in that bottom circle, we don't have it drawn on the board today, but I guess I can draw it up. We'll draw it in the promised land. Top circle, eternal security. Bottom circle there, fellowship, filling of the Holy Spirit. When you're here, that's a power source for you to operate in this world, in the devil's world. Most Christians are in here. They're in the cosmos. They're not in a power source at all. And therefore, they can't go anywhere at all. I think some people might have electric cars. If your electric car has no battery, you're not going anywhere. It'd be a wonderful car. All, you know, blitzed out. Dripped. All dripped out. It's a nice power car. Good job on that. You're sitting in the garage. You're going nowhere. Nowhere. You have to have a power source. If you drive a gasoline car, there's no gas in the tank. You're not going anywhere. You can have a Maserati. Going nowhere. You're sitting there and cars are passing you by. So if you're in the cosmic system, you can have all these wonderful things of life. They'll do you no good at all. You're not going to be able to learn Bible doctrine. Therefore, you can't take advantage of the problem-solving devices. So that is a power source. It's called the power of God. Remember, that's the Holy Spirit's job. God the Father made the plan of salvation. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, executed the plan of salvation. And the job of the Holy Spirit is to get get the salvation gospel to any human that wants to be saved, and part two, get Bible doctrine to the believer that wants to learn Bible doctrine. It's a power source. And then we have the faith rest technique. Old Testament, New Testament had this technique, and they were commanded to use it. The faith rest technique solution sees the believer claim a promise of Scripture and then rest or relax, believing the promise as solid fact. 1 Peter 5:7, which says, casting, which means to throw something, throw upon, all your anxiety. And that word is worries. We all have worries, fears. When you have them, what are you supposed to do? You cast them where? On Him. That's God, because He cares for you. And that's melo, means to care about. God deeply cares about you. Why? You're His child. If you're even half a parent, you've got to care about your kids. And God's a perfect parent. Of course He cares about you. He absolutely cares about you. So this is a command. You got problems? Well, give it to me. I'll take care of it. I'm your father. And why? Because I care for you. Why do I care for you? Because you're my son. Why are you my son? Because you have my righteousness. And God has a maximum love for every believer. There's a promise right there. So this is a promise you can claim in times of trouble. You just read it and say, oh, okay, I got a problem. God says, let me handle it. Boom, I'm going to relax. I'm going to relax. So that's what you do. That's the faith rest technique. You identify a promise that God has made. And the Bible has literally thousands of promises in there. Promises given to Joshua in the Hebrews. I'll give you the land. Cast your, you know, I put these people here to test you, to see if you're going to say, he could have had a land where there's nobody there. He could have dropped them all dead by disease. So they go in the land, milk and honey, nobody there. Oh, cool. But he didn't. He put some hellacious warriors in that land. They were fighters to test them. What are you going to do? Are you going to have faith in the Lord? Or are you going to fall apart? Well, the first generation fell apart. Joshua got the second generation in there, but we're going to study that they also had their problems. But they're far better than their parents. I give you an illustration. For example, if he is wrong, the believer should pray for those who mistreat you. There's another promise. What are you supposed to do? I claim a promise of God. I'm going to pray for those that mistreat me and put the matter in the Lord's hand, who promises to take care of it. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. There's another promise, which you repeat in the Old Testament and the New Testament. So you got wrong. Join the human race. Everybody gets wrong. What are you going to do? I'm going to seek revenge. No, put it in the Lord's hand. Now, you must rightly divide the word of truth. This doesn't mean if somebody hits you or tries to threaten you or your family that I'm going to put it in the Lord's hand. No, defend yourself. Don't be misguided in your thinking. Most of this is a mental attitude. Most of this is a mental attitude, because very few times people are going to come up and hit you upside the head with a baseball bat. No, mostly they're going to gossip about you with their tongue. And what are you going to do, gossip back? Or get a baseball bat and go after them, take out legs out? No, you put the problem in the Lord's hand. They've wronged you. Let the Lord have revenge on these people if they're going to have revenge. And pray for the person that mistreats you. And you have verses there. Wonderfully put, let it go, learn to grow. Let it go, learn to grow. A lot of people just can't let it go. They just can't let, whatever it is, they cannot let it go. This person wronged me, I can't let it go. Let it go, because it hinders your growth. Let it go, learn to grow. I didn't invent that motto, but took it from somebody that took it from somebody else, but it's a good little motto. Let it grow, let it go, learn to grow. And that's the motto for the mature believer. Deuteronomy 32:35, which we mentioned already, vengeance is mine. That's revenge. Payback is mine and retribution. In due time, their foot will slip, for the day of their calamity is near and the impending things are hastening upon them. Yes, God's timing is perfect. He'll take care of these people. Now, what does that mean? Well, we don't know exactly what it means, but we know in the big picture that if they're an unbeliever, they're going to the lake of fire. You're not. If they're a believer and they're negative to Bible doctrine, they're going to have a very rough time in life, having stability, mental stability, guidance. And if they learn some Bible doctrine and turned away, then they'll be products of reversionism, and they'll suffer tremendously. But the attitude of the mature believer is, I don't really want these people to suffer. I'd like to see them get on the straight and narrow. And And that's what it means. Impersonal love, which is another problem-solving device we'll get to, but this is kind of a baby problem-solving device. And anybody can do this. If you're a baby believer, find a verse in Peter. Cast all your cares on him because he cares for you. There's one right there, which we just studied in 1 Peter 5:7. That's a great verse. If you can't remember anything else, just do that. And so you're putting together different doctrines. God's my Father. I'm eternally saved. He cares for me. He loves me. He's doing this for a purpose. Whatever the purpose is, I'm going to cast it on the Lord. Again, you do normal things. I always call it saw the wood in front of you. And so whatever it is, you just keep doing what you're supposed to do. If you're a student, be the best student you can be. If you're this, be the best you can be. In Philippians, Paul commanded the believers, you know, live a normal life, be the best citizen you can be so people won't have an opportunity to disparage Christianity because they're going to say, oh, you're a Christian, you're doing that stuff? So many people do not understand the differences between the divine institutions, truth number one, truth number two, the gospel, and truth number three, Bible doctrine. And in the New Testament, we've got some verses here in 4a on the bottom of page 504. I've got the effects of the face rest techniques are far greater for the church age believer than the Old Testament believer due to the filling of the Holy Spirit and the availability of the mystery doctrines provided only in the church age. We have other things in our quiver. So the Old Testament believer, when they pull out a quiver, is where you hold your arrows. They got like four arrows in there. We've got a whole bunch of them. We've got problem-solving devices they do not have. And we indicated part of the reason is because we're in the intensified stage of the angelic conflict. Because Satan is now after you. It's an unseen conflict. Our battle is against these people, Ephesians chapter 6. Other things that hit you here and there and here and there, that's child's play. The big stuff is these massive number of demons, and they're following you around. They've got a book on you. Don't worry about it. They don't want you to get anywhere near a growth towards spiritual maturity. But we know, as we're going to study further on, they can't stop you. We said it's impossible for them to stop you. But if you stop yourself, they'll take full credit. Arrogant people always take full credit. If something goes well, you got 10 people that take credit for doing it. Something goes bad, wasn't me. Nobody. I can't find anybody with responsibility. But if something goes right, oh yeah, man, everybody wants to get in on that. So the demons can't stop you. But they'll take full credit if you do stop yourself. Ultimately, only you can stop you. Only you can prevent forest fires, that little slogan, yes. Only you can stop you, and you can stop you dead in your tracks. Real easy. Just stop studying Bible doctrine and see what happens. You will be a loser believer. But don't worry. As we've indicated before, the grace of God, whatever level you got to before you turned your back is the level that you will receive your rewards. So if you got to the stage of being a sophomore, you'll be rewarded as a sophomore at the judgment seat of Christ. But you're going to have a very rocky time from the time that you stop learning Bible doctrine when you reach that status of being a sophomore. And then the Old Testament, we've got a lot of verses there that talked about the faith rest technique. And, of course, we've got faith rest was a means to maturity for all Old Testament believers. That's how they got to maturity. That was their number one problem-solving device to get to their maturity level. That was Moses. That was all of them. Now, you have, again, your officers, they're enlisted. So right from the very get-go, you have greater opportunities to reach higher levels. Hebrews chapter 11, this is in the New Testament, verse 6. And without faith, that's pistis, that's Bible doctrine with the emphasis on the faith rest technique, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe, that's pisteo, to place confidence in, that he is, and that he is a rewarder. And that's misapodotes. That's the one who pays you your wages. That's the rewards for the mature believer, of those who seek him. This is God's promise. He can't lie. I'm going to reward you if you seek me. This is written to the believer. Most believers do not seek God. They will not be rewarded. Simple as that. We've seen those passages, many, many passages in the New Testament. It talks about this promise, that promise, but then sometimes it adds a little adjunct onto it. For those that love me, for those that love him. And that cuts out the vast majority of believers. They don't love God. Romans 8:28. All things work together for good. People stop right there. You need to read a little bit further there, buddy. all things work together for good to those that love him. That cuts out about 90% of Christians right there. But 90% of Christians will use that verse. It doesn't apply to you. How do I know that you don't love him? You don't know any Bible doctrine. You can't love what you don't know. What's rebound? What's that? What's the cosmic system? I don't know. And yet they want to claim that promise. Oh, it'll all work together for you. No, it won't. You're going to be crushed into the dirt and die the sin unto death. That's where you're headed, buddy. But they'll use that verse. And they'll try to use human effort. Now, humans can do things. You can do things in human effort. And a lot of people attribute it to God. For instance, you'll see somebody that stops drinking. And automatically, most Christians will say, well, God caused me to stop drinking. Unbelievers can stop drinking. Just, you got a strong will. I'm going to stop drinking. God had nothing to do with it. So a lot of people like to do cause and effect. This happened because God did it. Maybe God did, maybe he didn't. And I always stay away from people that talk about, well, God this, God that. One, a mature believer really doesn't do the God language every 2 seconds of their life. Because yes, if God willing, I'm going to cross the street. Yeah, I got that. You know, just cross the street. You're trying to advertise to me that you are a spiritual giant. Well, you don't need to advertise that to me. And God doesn't need the advertisement either. He already knows. So better to just be humble and move forward with Bible doctrine, live your life, and stop trying to smoke people out. Because we have many, many religious people. You know who they are. They carry Bibles all the time. They don't have any idea what's in it. Jehovah's Witnesses, they sit out there with Bibles and they have never read it. They don't know what's in it. No idea. And some people like to dress a certain way because they're holy, or do this because they're holy. No, they're not holy. In Jesus' day, the disciples were very impressed with the religious people. Remember? They said, oh, look at that temple. Look at that magnificent people. And on other occasions, they said, well, don't talk too hard to the Pharisees. They're the priests. Yeah, they dress well. The temple looks great. But what did Jesus say? There's nothing there. Dead man bones. In the ancient world, they'd put your bones into a tomb if you had money. And then they'd whitewash the tomb with paint to let you know there's a grave there. And it looks very great on the outside, but if you roll back the stone, it stinks to high heavens. You stink. You look good on the outside. You portray yourself as a believer, but you stink. And you don't use the problem-solving device. You gossip about everybody all day long. You don't even think that's a problem. Because, oh, well, I'm not gossiping. I'm just trying to inform you. I'm trying to straighten these people out so they can be better Christians. No, you're gossiping. So we have in Hebrews 11, that passage applies to us. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So you have problems, use the problem devices. That's how you please God. Isaiah 40:31. Yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. So who are these people? What's the wait mean? Well, the Hebrew word means to wait, to look for. This is a faith rest technique. You're going to get it. We have the same thing that Jesus said in his time. I know you want all this stuff because we all want stuff. And I'm going to give it to you in abundance. But first, seek ye the kingdom of God. I did the King James Version. That means study Bible doctrine. And you'll get these things. You'll be rewarded. God rewards those who seek him. Back to Hebrews. So yes, you can't lose your salvation, but let's have a nice life. Let's glorify God. Let's follow orders. As a bonus, you will have a wonderful life because your happiness is no longer hooked up to the details of life. A lot of people are happy if they can get all the little things they like. They're not happy if they don't get them. Well, how about being happy if you get them or if you don't get them? Is that possible? Absolutely is possible. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's a mature believer. He enjoys the details, but that's not his life. They're just details. He's laser beamed his mind straight past this earth into heaven because he knows he's this close away from being there, real close. And that's where the great rewards exist. Not here, not the things. They're called the details of life. Do not get entangled with the details of life. As we noted, when you die, there is not a U-Haul truck following your hearse. You cannot take these things with you. And they really didn't make you that happy. Because when you get, if you'll notice this, an arrogant person, they have a goal. They reach the goal. Are they happy? No. They're not happy when they reach the goal. They set another goal. They reach that goal. Are they happy? No. They set another goal. They're always chasing their tail like a dog around and around and around and around with a new goal. It doesn't make them happy because they have no Bible doctrine. Only Bible doctrine will make you happy. So that's the problem-solving device, the faith rest technique. And there are lots of promises in the Word of God that you can look to. Joshua, in his day, there's your promise. I'm going to give it to you. Be strong, be courageous, and you will have it. And I promise. And so Joshua could do reverse rationales. Well, God can't lie. He got us through all this stuff already. I've seen these miracles. Let's go in and kill some people. Okay, number five, I think we got time to do number five, is grace orientation. This is a huge problem-solving device. It's a relaxed mental attitude of the believer who maintains a live and let live attitude towards other people. Forgive as Christ forgave, and orients to life by grace. Live and let live. You do you, and I'll do me. A lot of people get very upset because they want everybody to fall into their cookie mold. I want you to do this. I want you to do that. I want you to dress this way, and think this way, and talk this way, and celebrate this way, and you don't like that holiday? Well, who are you? Live and let live. And yes, there's a lot of dummies out there. Let them be dummies. You cannot cure stupid. Impossible. So just let stupid be stupid. Now, if you have an opportunity and someone asks you about things, you'll discover once you start learning Bible doctrine that, you know, many people will peel off from you because they'll say, well, you're way too serious about that Bible doctrine stuff. Why don't you just, you know, do this, do that? And you try to explain to them the rebound technique or the faith rest technique or some of these things. They're not interested. And so you get to a point where you just stop telling people. And then you kind of wonder, why aren't you interested? Negative volition. They don't want it. And it's not a function that it's not available. It's available everywhere. They just don't want it. So you will find that you will lose a lot of contacts that you had in the past. But that's okay. So what? You're doing what God told you to do. And people are like chickens, though. People just got to have other people that like them. They got to get on the social media and watch cat videos for hours after hours. And Susie like this, Susie like that. Some of these young people commit suicide. Why? Who cares? I really don't care that you show me a picture of Fluffy, you know, walking down the street at 3 o'clock in the morning or what you had for lunch at Paisano's. You know, why? You're wasting a lot of good time. A lot of valuable time, and time is that one commodity that's not come back. So if it entertains you, I say, you know, I do entertainment. I watch cat videos. I watch, oh, that's great. But you've got to have your priorities down. Some people, that's all they do. TikTok or whatever it is. That's just hours and hours and hours and hours. Well, where's your time for Bible doctrine? Well, I don't have time for Bible doctrine. Okay, that just tells me where your priorities are. You got a whole lot of time for crap, but you don't have time for the Word of God. Okay, I got you. Your priorities are mixed up. And unless you put in a lot of Bible doctrine time, you can't do grace orientation. You can't, oh, I want to do grace orientation. No, you can't do it. To really do it, to really have a live and let live attitude, to let people be people and you be you, you have that attitude. And what's it based on? Well, if I got what I deserved, I'd be incinerated immediately. So who are you to say that person should do this, that, the other thing? Just have a grace attitude. Grace. They don't deserve it. They don't earn it. They can't work for it. Now, that doesn't mean you got to be best friends with these people. Just say, hey, you know, do you. Don't condemn them. Just let them do what they're going to do. Ecclesiastes 7:20-22. Indeed, there is not a righteous man on earth who continually does divine good and who never sins. That's us. There's not a righteous man on the earth. Now, you're saved, but you still sin. I still sin. This is a point of doctrine. Also, do not take seriously all the words which are spoken so that you will not hear your servant cursing you. For you also have realized that you likewise have many times cursed others. And this is people that if you have a friend you know, and you find out that your friend said something bad about you to another friend, you get all upset. Well, what is it telling you? Have a grace orientation in life. They're people. If you're looking for a friend that's going to be perfect, you ain't got no friends. Because you've done the same thing. Who, me? Yeah, you. You've talked about that person to a third party, and they didn't find out about it. If I could put a microphone on all of us, we'd be shocked about what you would find in your daily life about what you flap your gums about. So don't get all upset when somebody stabs you in the back. They're humans, particularly in the marriage sphere. You've got to live and let live to a degree. And thank goodness we don't have, you know, what do they call that? I think you put cameras up now, watch people all the time and listen to them all the time. You know, for old people it's good because you can watch and see what they're doing. But on the other hand, you might hear things you don't want to hear. But then you recall, well, have you ever done that to them? So, thank goodness there's no camera following me around. And you can say the same thing about you. So this is just a good reminder. You do the same stuff. Oh, but I never did that. You never murdered anybody. Okay, great. But what our Lord said, if you hate someone without a cause, you're guilty of murder because I'm God and I can read your mind. And I equate the same thing, the act with the mental attitude. And you recall what the disciples said when they heard that truth bomb. They said, if you could read our thoughts, how's anyone saved? They were still thinking human good. We got to do good to get saved. He said, you haven't been listening to me. You're not saved by what you do. You're saved in believing in what I'm going to do. Oh, we forgot. He only told them 1,000 times. So this is a good little verse to remember for the grace orientation to life. If you find yourself getting like a cat with his fur all up, just forget about it. You've done the same stuff. And so you're going to fire this servant in Ecclesiastes? No, they're still doing their job. They're just flapping their gums. You've done the same stuff. If they fired you, if someone over authority that had authority over you fired you, if they heard you flapping their guns, well, you'd be fired too. So just live and let live. Just realize they're humans. They got an old sin nature. So do you. You do the same stuff. So do not get up on your high horse all the time and get self-righteous. Oh, I'd never do that. Yeah, you do, and yes, you have. Okay, we'll stop here. We'll pick it up at point 6 on Wednesday. Remember, we're doing Bible class over the summer remotely from headquarters, my headquarters, and it'll be on Wednesdays and Fridays at 12:30. We'll still be here in person on Sunday. With our head bowed, our eyes closed, Father, we thank you for the privilege of studying your holy word. We pray that God, the Holy Spirit, will challenge us by these things in Christ's name. Amen.